WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into a new year and into a new offseason for Ravens football around here. We'll be doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour next week. We're going to be in Catonsville with our friends at State Fair and Beaumont and El Guapo and Evan and all of them, and picking up some pieces from the 21228 as we begin the new year before the Super Bowl and as we begin into Lamar Jackson sweepstakes. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. I'll have some Ravens scratch-offs to give away next Friday in Catonsville, as well as our friends at Window Nation, 866-90-NATION. You buy two, you get two free. And you get 60 months, that's 5 years, 0% financing. That's even a better deal than they gave me, so it's a pretty good deal. You know, I love when I have friends on the program, and this guy is Bill Cole from Cole Roofing. I have the Cole Roofing mug and the Royal Farms in here. By the way, Billy, I usually wear a shirt where the logo is above the nipple, and the Drug City shirt is actually lower. So I have to always like hold it up. You're not a Dundalk guy, like, right? So, like, where did you grow up? Are you Southwest Baltimore? Because it feels to me like that's where your business was, right?
Yeah, that's the big that was always started in 97. So I grew up like Perry Hall, White Marsh. My great-grandparents' house was in Hamilton. So, like, White Avenue and Bel Air Road, that was kind of – we kind of were there and then moved our way out, you know?
Everybody's Baltimore experience really is – how far from Memorial Stadium or the Civic Center or Harbor Place, right? Like the key places. How far you may have been from the mall in our era, like where you're from. But even when like the Ravens moved here and Kevin Byrne came here, he said the thing that everybody in Baltimore identifies himself when they say, where are you from? It's where you went to high school. Or if you went to Curley, you'd say, I'm from Highland Town, but I went to Curley, or I went to Catholic High, or I went to Calvert Hall, or wherever you would go, right? I find it interesting that being from Dundalk, right, there's such a stigma. And I don't mean that in any – people don't make fun of Catonsville or even Arbutus, although Jimmy Schwartz, congratulations on getting the Browns job this week. But people don't make fun of places like they do Dundalk. And I often wonder, because I'll say to somebody uptown from Towson or whatever, you know, where the rich people lived when I was a kid, I'd say, you know, you ever been to Dundalk? You know, you ever – like – and they'd be like, well, I have an uncle that – yeah, I went to Squires once, or I went to – what, I had a Captain Harvey's cheesesteak once in the 80s or whatever. So, like, did you ever go – did you know about Drug City? Because there's nobody in Dundalk that doesn't know about Drug City. But I am thinking, like, if you grew up in Hamilton, maybe you don't know about Drug City and you just, like, cackle because it's a funny name, you know?
Correct. That's pretty much what I do. I have no idea about Drug City, so I laugh at the name. And
see that? Yeah, you're that guy?
I am definitely that guy. I mean
– all right, well, it's good that I'm telling you the Drug City story, because Drug City's, like, this legendary
– yeah.
Place that is only like Drug City, and you'd have to go, and it's a shame you can't experience some of the old things. But they have this fountain now. They're bringing back some of the greatest hits from the old days. If you, they're not going to bring back the videotapes and the X-rated, you know, they're not bringing any of that back. And the wrestling magazines, they're definitely not bringing those back. But some of the old school candies and stuff are still there, and you should go to Drug City. So there's my Baltimore positive thing for you.
All right. I like it. I'll have to put it on the list.
Doing the show there March 3rd. So before we get into Ravens, did you have a special teacher in your life? Do you have someone who was alive or is alive, gym teacher, principal, somebody like Don Mohler was to me in your life?
I felt bad about this. I actually got to conversate with your wife about this last week or whatever when we were all together. But it's like there are teachers who definitely were – more influential than others. There are teachers' names that I remember not for good reasons, so they'll remain nameless. And then
Bill Cole, please report to the principal's office. Right. Bill Cole.
My stories are more about coaches, right? Like I spent more time on the field or in the gym.
Okay, those were your mentors. Fair enough.
Coaches. And then, you know, like each one of them I can look back fondly and say, oh, that's why I think it's okay to scream my head off at my daughters when I'm coaching basketball. That guy gave me the ability to, like, even though I'm getting me and my 10-year-old had this discussion last night about little girls talking trash and how it's like messing with her. She's like, not, it's like, and I'm like, no, you don't understand this. Yeah, you might not like it, but this is part of the game. Like, so we had a wonderful, you know, mental toughness conversation last night.
How old is she?
10.
Okay.
10, man. I was like,
well, they're on the internet. They, you know, I mean, I'm talking about the X-rated section over Drug City. These kids today, I mean, they've got to have skin like an armadillo, as Rex Ryan once said to me.
And my wife, she didn't play any sports as a kid. So she's like, oh, that's totally unacceptable. I can't believe that those kids talk. I'm like, holy cow, you have no idea. Like, this is what it is. Like it's been going on since the beginning of time when they were like throwing rocks at each other. Like, you just, they, people look for any advantage they can in a competitive sport. It's borderline on like bad sportsmanship, right? Depending on how personal it gets. But the idea of walking on the court and going to the player that you're opposing and saying, hey, I just want you to know, like, I'm the best defensive player on my team, and I told them I was going to guard you because you're the best offensive player, and I'm about to shut you down. That concept, that's good-natured competitiveness, and now I'm in his head, right? Now he really wants to beat me now. So
are you guys talking trash when you're playing checkers when you're six, or no?
Not a trash talker, but very forthright with, hey, I'm the stopper. I'm coming for you. I'm going to be in your pocket all day. My name's Bill. I'm going to high-five you at the end of the game. But between now and then, you're not going to touch the ball.
We're going to compete.
Well, you're just not going to touch the ball. I'm going to take you right out of this game. So,
kind of like I've done the 105.7 every year at the Super Bowl for the last 25 years. Bill Cole is here. He's Cole Roofing at Gordy Energy. So the reason I ask you about the teacher thing is I had a transcendent experience last week, and it's had a ripple effect, right? Like every day since that day, someone, and this is the nature of social media, has made me smile in some way in regard to this transcendent human being who's 82 years old. I don't want to say I haven't thought about Mr. Statham in 30 years, because I have a lot. I hit his son on Facebook. When my mother was alive, we ran into him in the IHOP in Dundalk like 10 years ago, and we talked about getting together, and then my mother died, and my wife got cancer, and like we never got together. So this is a man that, keep in mind, so this is 1979, 80, 81. Okay, that's the time frame. I'm 10, 11, 12. I had skipped a grade. All the kids were bigger than me because I was 10 and they were 12, right? So, and I was 10 in the seventh grade, you know, kind of strangely, right? Because I read at a high level. I was really smart when I was a kid. I don't know what happened, but so Mr. Statham was the chorus director and the music teacher. He was one of maybe three African-American teachers in the school. There were zero African-American students in Hollaburg Junior High School. I'll show you all three of my middle school or junior high school yearbooks. So this is 79, 80, 81 in that frame. And he like had a bigger class because chorus was, you know, 100 kids, and, or, you know, it felt like 100, but it might've been 50 or 60. There's a lot of kids. Band was going on next door. It was a measurement to be in chorus because they had a choral event every Christmas and every spring. Every spring, we all had to get on the school bus, dress really nice, drive to Parkville Middle School, do our recital and sing our songs and get graded. And it was he was the most serious, demanding. And if you didn't like structure, you would hate Calvin Statham. Kids hated him, probably because he was black. You know, it's 1979 in Dundalk, right? It's Archie Bunker still in real time. They don't have O'Connor's place yet. He's still doing real Archie at that point, right? You know, Meathead's still bumping into him, right? So this is 1979, 80, 81. Wonderful man. Always loved him. Always loved me. Dreamed of being in his show when I was in ninth grade. He gave me a part in My Fair Lady. So fast forward 2 weeks ago, and I haven't seen Mr. Statham in 10 years. I haven't interacted with him as an adult, okay? I've never interacted. 31 years on the radio, I have never had an adult other than running into him in the IHOP. And he and his wife were special people. So let me explain to you this. The Calvin Statham singers, gospel legends in this area, 60s, 70s, 80s, the kind of gospel act that would open at a big show, be in the undercard because they were a big local act. And they played at churches throughout the region, three singers, soulful. You can go Google it, YouTube it. He told me that the other night, so I did, and I shared one last week. So I haven't reached to him in all these years. And a My Fair Lady ad comes on, and Ron Legler down at the Hippodrome sucking me into Baltimore positive, you know? So I get this My Fair Lady, and I said to my wife, we got to go see My Fair Lady. My wife's like, I've never seen My Fair Lady. I'm like, she said, what's it about? Oh, you don't even know what it's about. Cool. All right. So let's try to figure this out. And then I reached to Patrick, Calvin's son. Calvin's 82. And I put a note out on the internet, and it went crazy. Dude, he taught at Pikesville for 10 years in the 70s. So there's a whole wing of his life that I had no idea about, including one of my partners. One of the people that owns my station was taught by Calvin Statham. He sent me a text yesterday. So every day, it's this unopening box of chocolates. So I'm dragging him to Drug City. He lives in Edgemere. I'm dragging him to Drug City on March 3rd. And there's your chance to meet my chorus teacher, the legendary Calvin Statham, who's going to be my guest. He's going to break my balls. And my wife said to me, I've never seen anybody abuse you the way that man abused you for 4 hours.
I wasn't totally sold until the end there. Now I'm probably in. Because any kind of
Mr. Statham is not demure.
I have to be around for that. Yeah.
How are you, man? How are you dealing with the aftermath of the Ravens? It's not even like a letdown, right? Like nobody expected.
Oh yeah,
to win.
It is. I find it to be wildly disappointing. Like, okay. I think there's like a song or something. Where did all the heroes go? Like, I don't know. Like.
I'm thinking about the Van Halen. Where have all the good times gone?
Okay, right? Sure. Yeah. That would work too.
Yeah, okay.
I wanted to go to bed. I wanted them to be down 3 touchdowns at halftime. Like, I had no hope. That's not entirely true. Like, you know, like, I think you and I talked about it. Like, hey, anything can happen. But they made me watch the entire game.
And they made you believe. You thought.
Right. I did. I got vested
in. When the ball was going like up to go over.
No. I was fairly neutral at that point. But like.
You weren't convinced they were going to score a touchdown when they huddled
prior
at the
to
goal
that
line.
Snap. Well,
you watched their offense the last 10 weeks, right?
Just prior to that snap, I'm doing field goal analysis because reality is. They lost their left tackle or whatever. They were a mess. They had ceased moving the ball. Okay, kick a field goal here, play defense, get it back, kick a field goal, play defense, get it back. Kick, you know, do we have time for 3 more field goals to win this game? You know.
And you're thinking they're not the Bengals anymore. We're going to sack Burrow, or he's going to throw the ball up to Marcus Peters.
Yeah.
And we're going to pull off the shock of the world the way the Giants beat the Vikings.
So, right. So, I mean, they were sort of a wounded duck at that point, and all they were trying to do was run the clock and get to the end of the game. I also believe that James Prochet the third or whatever he is had a chance to have a clip that would have been shown at the Hall of Fame forever. On part of that, you know, playoff glory reel.
Jacoby Jones too.
Yes. Like all those crazy things that happen in the playoffs that you never would expect. You know what I mean? That the chance of it happening is 1 in a billion. It was a very hard catch. I get it. Never happens. That's what makes it 1 in a billion. But it don't get much closer than you getting
See,
two
the thing
hands
for
on
me
the ball
is when the ball hits the ground,
it in.
I am like, they weren't going to beat Kansas City anyway. You know what I mean? Like, there's a part for me, I'm not thinking like I used to think, which is bus trip, Super Bowl, fun, this,
yeah.
That.
Well,
if this team loses, we could actually host the championship game because we're the
right.
higher.
Right.
You know, like, all of that had gone away. And especially Lamar tweeting out extensive reports of his grade 2, almost 3 injury. I didn't think Lamar was coming back either, right? I just – the mojo around this team was, to me, as a fan, as a citizen, as a journalist, shut it down. You weren't winning, and now figure out what you're going to do to win the next time. Because this – and I think that that's what they're doing now. And that's why – I mean, NFL Network is on the air, bro, 8 a.m. the morning after the game, sending him to the Jets, right? Vegas has numbers on sending him to the – like – it's amazing how quickly this has gone from Lamar's our guy to they don't want Lamar and Lamar doesn't want them.
Do you think that it was Lamar's decision to not go to Cincinnati, or do you think the Ravens told him, "Eh, why don't you just stay home?"
I think they, if I, so I'm guessing, okay, I don't
yeah,
have
I get
any
it.
inside
I
information
understand.
on this,
Right.
right?
Right.
Because John Harbaugh and Eric DaCosta don't speak to me. Although in the old days, I probably would have figured it out, right? I mean,
Right.
I had enough people, and there's still enough people there to have, I really want to poke around. I'm much more like eating the popcorn like Michael Jackson in Thriller.
Yeah.
You know, I'm
Yeah.
much more like, oh, well, you know, if, first off, it won't be an NFL insider that reports anything other than the Ravens side, right? So if Ian, and I know how the politics of this works. So whoever reports it, this is like Jeff Barker and the Sun. If he reports it, it's just because John Angelos talked to him in the middle of the night, told him what to write, and he wrote it, right? And by the way, John Angelos, another story. Write that down so we get to that because they made some news this week too. But in regard to the Lamar Jackson situation, my gut is to me, and I only have a little piece of this. The piece is, and you know, I'll be full disclosure. Harbaugh was really displeased with Lamar Jackson missing OTAs. How do I know that? It's in my phone. So when Lamar and I were on Twitter back in May and he missed the OTA week, John wasn't happy. And I would think if John's not happy, that probably doesn't make Steve or Eric happy or Greg Roman happy. And if John's unhappy and a former journalist, at that point I was still a journalist, would know about it and the coach would want me to know about it in May,
right.
and then they're
Right.
throwing me out in July, it's bizarre, dude. Like, all of this is bizarre. The whole
Right.
Lamar thing's bizarre, but I would say the WTF on draft night, probably not good. Missing OTAs really didn't make Harbaugh happy, right? Like, 'cause you're really not showing leadership and you're like, you're the guy, right?
You're trying to break the bank, but you're not doing it.
The
Right.
negotiation with Eric had always portrayed it to me as being, you know, cordial, but a little awkward, but like, I don't think Eric ever thought they weren't going to get a deal done, right?
Right.
I think this started with unavailability last year, gives me the yips, gives me the shakes, kind of like a tropical storm if I have a house in Hatteras, right? I get a little like, you know, maybe this, you know, maybe the second storm won't be good, right? WTF, when he knew what was going on, playing the social media game of pay me, putting up, you know, I want to be paid memes while they're trying to pay him, right?
Right.
But not enough.
Right.
The notion that the Deshaun Watson thing was going to screw everything up. Then he comes into camp. Things are fine. They're playing football. It's all good. But the sign in the hall down in the aisleway in week eight, where he's holding up the pay me sign. And then the injury, and then everything that happened after the injury, which is him hiding for 5 days after the tweet that got me thrown off of Twitter back at Thanksgiving. And somewhere between 1 to 3 weeks, I don't trust. There's a trust issue, right? And I've talked
Right.
about this a lot all week long, right? In 19, the theme for that team was big trust, right? I am assuming, I don't necessarily speak Urban Dictionary, but I'm assuming trust didn't mean a trust in a light rigging. It meant trust with a T. And I think there's really there was a trust problem in December and something that probably was boiling and percolating through all of these things. And I would say at some point in December, they came to the conclusion that he was too hurt to play, wasn't going to play. They didn't like the way he's handling it. He didn't like the way they were handling it. And somewhere in there, sometime during the holidays, something went really awry with trust that has brought them to the point where I don't know how they're going to kiss and make up. You know what I mean? They're
Well,
all
right.
saying the right things, but I don't know how they're going to kiss and make up.
I know. I moved into like, how do you ensure value? Yeah, because I don't think he's playing for us again, but I need to maximize my value to deal him. And like, not going to the playoff game, that eroded value in the player. Like, he's either not a team player, or he's more hurt than we think, or he's walking around in a cast. Like, nobody's being honest here, blah, blah, blah. So
if he's sitting in a skybox and they're saying he's there and wanted to be with the team and didn't want to be on the
right, a
bench with
distraction,
his
sure.
knee and a distraction
Right.
And where he is, that would show me solidarity. What
right.
him not being there the other night and him wildcatting the Twitter thing, right? The tweet,
but
I should say.
But I
right?
would say, don't. I had to tell my kids this, right? My kids were all over it. Can't believe he didn't go and support his team. Because, you know, like, we're trying to instill those kind of values in my children. Right. And, like, I'm like, well, look, hold on. We don't really know the story. Like, the Ravens might have told him not to come. Yeah, you're too much of a distraction. Like, we need to go do business. You know, come on, really, it'll be fine.
He was in Pittsburgh 5 weeks ago when I was in the locker room. I rubbed elbows with him. They were all dancing to Latin music. They had just beaten the Steelers. He was there.
I get it. I don't. So, but.
And I walked by him to make sure if he had something to say about me for about the Twitter thing, that I was available, because that's the journalist in me. The right. journalist in me is front-facing accountability after I write Fire the Coach. You know, or whatever I write. I've never written Fire the Coach in 31
years. If somebody
years.
Has hopes of re-signing him or getting him to play for us, then the other angle that they're playing is, how do we diminish his perceived value to the outside world so that he has to come back in my office and say, hey, we need to get this done. Like, I don't really like what's going on right now. I'm not, you know,
there's no diminishing him, dude. They're going to shine him up and they're going to deal him off at some point in March to whoever is makes him happy and makes them happy. I'm pretty convinced of that. Like, yeah. If there's a kumbaya and he's back here playing playoff game, first off, if there's a kumbaya, it's because they gave him more money than anybody, right?
I don't think any business person can do that at this point, you know, like with the him not playing in November and December for the last 2 or 3 years or whatever the injuries are. I don't think you can do that. I mean, if
I'm
Bisciotti,
but if you're Stephen Ross in Miami and you're trying to sell tickets.
Oh yeah, sure.
If Tom Brady retires and Tampa Bay doesn't have an offensive coordinator or a quarterback, right?
No. I have all the information, right? He's been in my meetings. He's been in my training rooms. I know what the deal is with the guy. If I'm Bisciotti and DaCosta goes and does that, I'm going to DaCosta saying, dude, have you lost your mind? Like, you just wrote us. We might make the playoffs, maybe. But we're going to lose in the first round every year because we aren't going to be able to pay our defense. We're not going to be able to pay receivers. Not going to be able to, you know. So, I think DaCosta's got a 20-year, 30-year run ahead of him. So he's playing the long game. You know, there's no relegation if you don't make the playoffs. So
I don't believe that they believe that he will win the Super Bowl here, be healthy enough to win the Super Bowl, be happy enough here. And I also know this. I don't know that they believe in the experiment anymore. You know, Harbaugh went from calling it an experiment to a revolution in 6 months, right?
Right.
It went from an experiment to a revolution, well, 18 months, right? It went from an experiment to a revolution to an experiment again, because the night they drafted him, we talked about this, the morning after he ran into linebackers in that Hall of Fame game, out in Canton, Ohio, when Luke and I were up in the press box, and we're like, oh my God, he got hit three times harder than I've ever seen a quarterback get hit in a purple uniform, and it's July.
Right.
And you know what I mean? Like, so knowing all of that, I don't think they believe they can pay a quarterback $48 million, that they can recruit wide receivers, because they can't recruit a wide receiver in this offense. That's part of the experiment that I don't know. When Eric was getting his Sigma Dells together and his Uber sabermetrician Hopkins scientists who are going to analyze all the analytics, that they looked at this and said, we're going to draft wide receivers into this system because we're never going
to
be able to
force them to play. Right. Force
them because we're never going to be able. And even when we draft one who's best bunkies with our quarterback, he ain't going to want to play here anymore.
Well, and
this kid wants the ball, and he's 26 years old.
We can sign all the Sammy Watkins and DeSean Jacksons who can't get a contract anywhere else and hope we catch lightning in a bottle. It will be considered, you know, 20 years from now, they look back. It won't be a revolution, but the game definitely changed because of the success that Lamar and Colin Kaepernick before him were able to have in changing the way offense is played, even if it's just merely from the fact that there's this whole other playlist that now the defense has to prepare
it's
for.
It's changed
which makes
the
it harder.
size and the category of football players defensively. It's changed linebackers and safeties, and it has changed everything about the size of a human. You look at Roquan Smith, you're like, he looks like Ray Lewis, like if you let the air out of him a little bit, right? Like
right.
literally.
He does
and
look
Ray
small.
was too small to play linebacker.
Right.
It 25 years ago. Now that they want a team full of strong
speed.
Safeties. They
yeah,
want a
speed.
Team full of Kyle Hamilton.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I think when you accept that you're drafting Lamar, you know that has like a 0.5% chance of ending well, right? Like the number of ways.
You'd say that in any case of drafting
probably,
a quarterback, right?
Yeah, probably.
How many quarterbacks drafted on draft night are going to win a Super Bowl? Not many when Brady was alive, right? I mean, like literally Brady. And if Brady weren't alive, Manning would have won four of those. Like right? So.
But your percentages are higher if you don't add in the fact that part of the skill set is the running, which means, you know, they could get vicked at any time, right? They can get a broken leg or whatever. And, you know, and that, not that the other quarterbacks aren't exposed to that. It's just our percentages are much higher for this guy. So it was probably all going to end poorly at some point. And they all had a meeting somewhere in middle of December and said, maybe now is when it was going to end poorly, because why would we pay $200 million for it to end poorly 4 years from now? You know? So,
well, and I also think they don't think this kid's going to be able to handle the heat when the heat gets hot, and they give him $200 million and the bright lights get, I mean, he was a much better player as an underdog.
If he,
he was a much better sell to the community as an underdog than the same way with Joe Flacco. The minute Flacco got the money, we all forgot he won the Super Bowl.
Right. If Lamar would agree to take $15 million a year, and I could go pay someone slightly better than Tyler Huntley another $10 million a year, and literally like not play Lamar to ensure that he's available for the playoffs. So one game on, one game off, one game on, one game off, you know, whatever kind of goofy
they do with running backs, essentially.
Yeah, right. Whatever kind of goofy, right, third
you
down.
You care about J.K. Dobbins, but you're not giving him the ball 32 times a game.
Yeah, I mean, like, whatever kind of goofy system you could create, I do believe that Lamar has the ability to win, you know, three or four games in a row, be really special, go on a Flacco-esque 11 touchdown, zero interception kind of run and win the Super Bowl and just dazzle the universe. I do believe he has that in him.
He ain't doing it with Deshaun Jackson and DeMarcus Robinson and right.
Correct. And he's not going to do it after 17 weeks of getting the shit beat out of it. Right. He's not going to step up and be able to do it after that. So that's the problem.
Well, for all of these reasons, I think we've pointed out, now who's the buyer?
Yeah.
You know, who's
the love the Miami story. I mean, if they can work it out so that it fits for at least 1 year with Waddle and Tyreek Hill, like, holy cow, that there are no excuses at that point. And they were good, right? Like, they beat us. They made the playoffs. I mean, they were a pretty good team. So I like the Miami one.
You done with football now? You done?
No, I mean, I'll watch. I'm curious. You know, I there's enough, like, the best teams aren't so much better than everyone else that there's just a runaway and it's boring because the Chiefs are going to win again. Like, I don't feel that way. There's a part of me that likes rooting for the Bills. I got a buddy up there who's a Bills Mafia maniac. So, you know, I got, you know,
I know people here hate the Bengals now. All of a sudden, it's kind of cool. Like, it's like, right. Man, I'm old enough to remember. I never thought anybody hate the Bengals. But, right. And I'm not a Bengal hater. I kind of like that kid. I think he's got some moxie that I like if he were my quarterback in some way.
I like to hate him. I like to hate him.
Okay, fair enough. See, I don't love Josh Allen, funny enough. You know what I mean? Like, as players,
yes.
I like Patrick Mahomes. I mean, I think you can't hate him. He's kind of like Peyton Manning. Is a little bit, other than the Colt helmet, you know, like hating on Peyton.
I think I'll always feel sorry for the Bills, right? Like
Well, you win 4 weeks if they win the Super Bowl. I mean, that's the greatest story ever. They're a better story than the Chiefs by far.
Yeah,
And I
but
guess my point with the Bengals
Mike.
was I don't think the Bengals can win now because of
Right.
the injuries. I just
Agreed.
see them as lame
Agreed.
duck. So
Agreed.
I do want to see the Bills and the Chiefs get together in Atlanta next weekend and flood the city and play the Peach Bowl all over again,
So weird. But I think part of my youth, Jim Kelly and the Bills, like there's no way I will never not feel sorry for the Bills, right? I'll always feel sorry for them. So something about that makes them, somebody that you want to root for. Like there's like I can't imagine how that would have been if that was my team, right? Like they were my team in a lot of those years.
It was
Right. So
1989.
you had to pick, right? Do you pick the Giants or you pick the Bills? Well, you definitely pick the Bills. Like Thurman Thomas, Jim Kelly, like they
Yeah,
were
I was at the
likable.
championship game when they won 51-3, when they beat Jay
Right.
Schrader.
Right.
Rsig and I talk about it all the time. Rsig, I have Rsig out on the Crab Cake Tour at Gunpowder Lodge. I guess that was back in October in that range. And he
Right.
came out and we talked about that day. Because I went to Buffalo for Oilers games. I was not at the comeback
Sure.
game. I was with Rsig at that, but the year before the Oilers lost up there, I was at that game. And I went back for the championship game, the Art Shell game. And I'm telling you, man, I have never been in a place where, like, if you couldn't find a girl that night and have a good time, I mean, the whole city was, I mean, I was
Right.
21, 20 years old,
I
21 years old,
gotcha.
1989.
I got
It was
you.
just and on fire. I drove
Yeah.
6 hours to Buffalo, and all of a sudden, my team's going to this. It wasn't my team, but like, I'm
Oh,
there,
yeah.
drinks,
Yeah.
fun, fans, girls, like all of that. Zubaz back in the day, Thurman Thomas. And then
Right.
I sat at Rasig's house watching them get beat and watch the ball sail. And I was like, you know.
Right. I
And the
get
thing
it.
that, my life's this 35 years later, and they still.
Right. That's what I mean. So even if they win, I'm not sure that doesn't still make me feel sorry for them. So, and the NFC's a little bit, like whatever. None of
I
them
don't
are
need the
all
Eagles
that.
again. I don't need
Yeah,
that.
that none of that's really
And I don't need the
compelling to me.
Cowboys either. I don't need that. Definitely don't need that.
The 49ers, like I don't know. There's
Might
not
be
a
fun the
lot
Bills beating the
compelling to
Cowboys,
me.
though. That might be fun. In the Super Bowl, I'm saying. Like, let the
Right, I
Cowboys
gotcha.
people get worked up and then break their heart. That'd be all right.
Okay, all right. That's a little bit mean, but okay. I could get there.
They're Cowboys fans, dude. I mean,
Right, I
come
gotcha.
on. I mean,
I gotcha.
stop. They win all.
Okay.
Oh, they never win. That's right. I was going to say they win all the time. Bill Cole is here. He's Cole Roofing at Gordy Energy. Give me a little roofing update here because it's wintertime. And I know, like, it's been in the 40s. It's been pretty pleasant. But I remember 2 days before Christmas as being like, I'll never
Oh,
forget how cold I was 2 days before
it was
Christmas,
really
man.
cold. Well, before I go there, I want to come back to something you said earlier. This will be a warning. This might be the useful part of our discussion or
Okay.
not. You were talking about the fact that you reached out to your teacher and, had a meaningful reconnection, and part of that relationship.
Was better
I
than
just.
meaningful. I would say it was the best. It was my favorite night of the year so far. It's been a
Right.
short year, but I would say it's my favorite night in the past 8 months. You know what I mean? Like, whatever. I haven't done a whole lot of
Well,
fun things, but yeah.
and I have no idea how his life is right now, but he might say it's the best night he's had in 20 years, right? Like when you get to 82, I don't know how much fun you're having. Maybe he's great, right?
He
Maybe he has
had
lots.
so
So,
much fun that it'll make me cry if I talk about it.
right.
Like, I
So,
can't believe I haven't thought of doing more things like that. It was like my mother was alive
yes.
again. I was like hanging out with
Yes.
my mother again. It was
Yes.
like that, very much so, psychologically, if you're going to Dr. Melfi me as you usually do.
No. So I just got done listening to another podcast, and it was about this Harvard study on happiness that is like the longest human study that's ever like the subjects started in like the night like 1939. So they've like followed these people through their whole life. They've picked up their spouses and kids, and then expanded the study and brought in more groups. And all, so it's this huge data set, right? And there's lots of stuff that they haven't had a chance to analyze, like, I don't know, how important are pets to your happiness and all this, just sort of
All that
eccentric
East Coast
stuff.
liberal bias stuff. Yeah,
Right.
sure.
But
Right.
fundamentally, once you get beyond some obvious stuff, the people who were the most happy were the ones who had meaningful relationships. And it didn't mean like the people who had the most were the happiest, right? Because it really depends on who you are. So for an introvert, right, if they could have like more than one, two, three, five meaningful relationships, they could potentially land in that extremely happy category over their life. The opposite of introvert.
Extrovert.
Thank
That's
you.
Me.
Right. An extrovert, you know, 150 meaningful relationships, right? Like the more the better, or whatever that is, but meaningful. And the concept of the people who spent time and effort minding those relationships were the ones who seemed to be more happier. So you can know lots of people, but if there's no effort into grabbing coffees, just catching up, spending an evening doing something crazy, whatever, that just didn't, it didn't hit the
by the way, man, write this down right now. I just gave you your accelerant speech for next month, right there. There's your Thursday morning, right? Perfect,
I'll have to
right?
Do it anyway, right.
Is that good?
Yeah, that's wonderful. And then the only other thought I had,
depth of connection is,
I get it.
It's a wonderful concept. And I think after the plague, even more valuable, right?
Yeah, and just that affirmation that we all know, and this is, they say it all the time, you know, like marriage is hard, you got to work at it, right? Like we know this. We know that having meaningful relationships takes energy and effort and stick-to-itiveness.
Sometimes causes disappointment and dismay and anger and frustration.
So
and,
we know that. And sometimes we just need to be reminded. But and then the other thing I thought of that I wanted to do, which is totally not a very good transition, but whatever, is we should have a book club comment every time we get together, because like there's always good books and people are always looking for good books. So, but
I'm not
my
reading
good
anything
book
right now, but I have read a lot of books in my life.
Right. So here's my comment, which you can distill this and we can talk about it next time or something, and all the millions of listeners can just grind on it. But smart guy told me, I don't know, a month or two ago, he only reads two books and he reads them both over and over again. And the whole idea is that these two books, in his opinion, right, are the secrets to life. And
the Bible and the Art of War?
No.
Okay. I'm just checking.
How to Win Friends and Influence People.
Fair enough.
And Think and Grow Rich.
Think and Grow Rich. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
They're both on my bookshelf.
Right. And I haven't read Think and Grow Rich, but I read the other one a long time ago. So I'm rereading that now. And he's right. Like, they're fundamental things. And the idea,
the road
that,
less traveled, and there's like all sorts of things like that. I come back to Tony Robbins whenever I need a little dip. He's doing a thing next week, a big week-long thing. I may or may not participate. I may, because I'm feeling it, right? I mean, I'm having some interesting things going on here as I try to expand what I'm doing. So yeah, opening my mind. I had one of the greatest American authors on last week. I had James Patterson on with Mike Lupica, and I spoke to them because they've written a book of fiction.
Right.
I like admitted to the greatest writer. I'm like, I haven't read a fiction book since maybe like East of Eden. Like literally, like I don't read fiction.
Oh, I mix in Tom Clancy all the time.
Like, see, I just don't. I'm much more to read Think and Grow Rich again than I am to read or a biography. Now, I will read true stories of success, people telling their, I like that thing. You know, I mean, if it's a rock and roll about a band or whatever, I'll read that kind of stuff.
I love those. Right.
Yeah. Rock.
I love those. I mean, ultimately, one of my objectives is, I got to read to go to sleep. So it can't be work oriented. It can't be too work oriented. Otherwise, I just stay up all night thinking about it. So
that's
there you go.
That would be the best way for me to read at the end of the night, get 10 pages, 15, and crash out. All right. Good advice. Bill Cole telling me to read more, which is the same thing Jim Patterson told me last week when I had him on, and we got to talking about things. As a guy who writes stuff, I'm trying to produce it, not consume it at this point. Right. Bill Cole will get up on your roof, take great care of you and your business. It does commercial roofing as well as Gordian Energy and all things. Listen to the ads. I I'm on a time constraint, Bill. You know I love
it. It's all good, man. It's all good.
We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore positive.